Come on in and grab your coffee, and we're going to praise God. Wait for God's word. Thank God that we are here together as the body of Christ. It's so good to be with you guys, family. Sing with me. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. We're going to trust You this morning, Lord, for He has saved me. Lord, You saved me. You have saved me now. Thank God for Your salvation. Give Him glory, give Him praise, for You have saved me. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. You have saved me now. All right. I love those old hymns. That's why I sing the old hymns. I don't think they're sung enough these days, you know? And plus, nobody gets paid off of them. I don't like this, you know, marketplace thing. Nothing wrong with people getting paid. But then you wonder if they're writing songs for Jesus. They write a song that sounds like this song. The publisher says, oh, write this song like that. And then you wonder who's really writing it. And when people are singing it, who are you really singing to? So that's why I do the old hymns. Anyway, good to have you guys this morning. Got to have my coffee. So I'm excited today for a couple reasons. First of all, I got to tell you, it's my anniversary. Well, our anniversary, Shanita and I, and we are in a special place, drove all the way from Texas, where we had the film festival. And I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But I want to share with you where we are today, this morning. Let me put this up here. Now you see a sign in the back. No, we did not open a flower shop. We're in Heavener, Oklahoma this morning. Heavener, Oklahoma. It is the town where my, I guess, family comes from, the roots of Heavener, Oklahoma. Let's go to, and I even found the Heavener First Assembly of God Church, okay? And it was so cool. I mean, walking through this town and seeing your name all over the town and, you know, researching where you came from and how my ancestors married into the Choctaw Indian tribe and, you know, the Trail of Tears and just the history. Anyway, it's been really special. This is our 34th wedding anniversary. Very special. I'll bring Shanita on, see if she's there. Well, good morning. How are you?
Wow. Happy anniversary. You have made these 34 years the most memorable of my life by far.
Well, I tell you what, you're a gift from God, and that's truth, and I've told you this before. You are a gift from God. Anyway, I really appreciate you, Shanita, and I'm going to bring you back on just a little bit. We're going to talk about what's been happening the past several weeks. We've been traveling, thanks to all of our family out there, encouragement, the prayers, and the financial gifts, been able to have us travel all around for the past month. We've been traveling all around the country, LA, to preach. And this young man right here gave his life to the Lord. I think his name is Martin. Because of you out there, family, another soul, another name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to look right there. This is because of you. We're talking eternal, eternity, things that are eternal. And then also, we were able to preach at the Warrior Bride amongst survivors of human trafficking and SRA and abuse. And people gave their life to the Lord there. We had people praising God. And then we just came from the Content Film Festival, where we won an award. You can see right there. And praise God for that. But I was able to get up in front of everyone and say, look, because the show that we won the award on wasn't Last Evangelist. It was on David Heavener Investigates, about do demons attack your sleep, how they attack your sleep. And I was able to get up in front of everyone, Christians, 500 people, and say, listen, I'm going to paraphrase. But Jesus said, when the 72 came back and said, hey, even the demons listen to us, he said, that's fine. You can be happy and thankful for that. But what you really need to be thankful for is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have eternal salvation. So I was able to get up in front of a room full of a lot of Christians and just preach that little sermon to them. And it's because of our family, Shanita, everyone listening out there that's been praying for us, encouraging us, financially supporting us, we're able to travel these different places and preach, sing, and share the gospel.
Yes. And
right. We're
so grateful to report a huge praise report, a resurrection report. So I'm looking forward to being back with you at the end.
Yep. We're going to report on this boy who was raised from the dead. My son prayed over him along with the team, along with your team, and he was raised from the dead. The father of how many children? Four? No, his wife was just giving birth as he died in a motorcycle crash. But then something happened. So y'all stay with me so we can talk about this. All right, love you. Our 34th wedding anniversary. Folks, let me tell you something. If you've had bad relationships, maybe you don't have a relationship at all, you're older, you say, David, I've given up. Don't give up. I had so many bad relationships, dating, and it was just terrible. It seemed like the same kind of girl over and over again, not judging the girl. It was all about me. And I never thought I would ever have anyone in my life. And then God gave me Shanita. It was a gift, see? And I didn't know that. But Shanita had to almost raise me spiritually because, I mean, I was just all over the place, right? And so basically think of a child. She raised a small child spiritually. And I tell people, I said, you know, I'm the only hell my wife ever raised, right? And so it's kind of true. But anyway, let's get to the sermon this morning. I want to talk to you guys about something that's so close to my heart here, that if we don't understand this, if we don't get a grasp on what I'm getting ready to talk about, what I'm praying God is going to deliver to us this morning, we're just going to keep going around in circles, all right, doing the same thing over and over again, asking God to do something, and yet it's the same stuff over and over again. And what is that? It's about the church is in the same place as it's always been. If you look at it, it's probably even worse. You know, they're saying now, if you look at statistics, folks, that they're saying that there's as much divorce in the Christian community as there is in the secular community. What? I mean, what is this all about? And you look at the church week after week, month after month, year after year, and you go, well, it's kind of in the same place as it's always been. It doesn't seem like it's really changed, has it? And why do I keep bringing this up? Because I care about the church. I care about God's people. And so the question I'm going to ask you this morning, which I think is so important, is, are you doing church? Are you being the church? So what does this mean exactly? And God laid it on my heart. I want to share it with you. And I'm going to take you through my conversation I had with God a few days ago, which I have often. And by the way, praying is not just going somewhere and bowing your head, and, you know, it can be, and having this moment, that can be. But praying is a communication with God. You can sit there in the morning, have your coffee, have your notebook, and be praying just by talking to God. Hey, God, you don't have to go through these rituals. I mean, God appreciates that, and there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm just saying, I think we have this idea of praying as being, you know, some type of ritual we've got to perform, right? You don't even need to close your eyes. Out of respect, I do a lot of times. I bow my head out of respect, reverence, okay? So if you look at the church today, And you see the disease, you see the divorce, you see the nonsense that's going on, and it's getting worse. And it seems like it's normal. Why? Because we live with it. It just continues on and on. So I went to God, and I said to God, just give me a morsel. Give me something that I can understand, that I can give to the people, or you can give to the people. I can't do anything because I'm starving. I need a morsel. I'm hungry. I need to know, why is it that your people, so-called, seem to be stuck? Why are we not doing what it is you said we could do and greater things you said we can do? Why? Why do we keep listening to the sermons and reading the scripture that says these things shall follow? You will cast out demons. You will heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel. Why do we keep hearing this, but why don't we do it? Some, but not all. Just a few, maybe. I said, God, give me a morsel. And instead of giving me a morsel, God gave me a buffet. And this is what I want to share with you. One scripture, one line that shakes me today, right now. I want you to go to Luke 2:49. Jesus said to his parents, I'm going to read the whole thing in just a moment. He said, how is it that ye sought me, which ye not that I must be about my Father's business? In other words, why are you seeking me? Didn't you know that I would be about my Father's business? It was this line that was the buffet that God gave me. You say, David, how can that line pertain to what you're talking about? And I'm glad that you asked, because this is the buffet, the word that God gave me. So let's go to the scripture. I'm going to put it up so you guys can read it. Okay, here we go. This is this is Luke 2:46-49. Okay, 3 days, they found him in the temple. The parents were looking for Jesus, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, these aren't medical doctors. These are, you know, people of the faith, scribes, Pharisees. By this time, the religious system had just gone to the pits of hell. Jesus even said, your father, the devil. Okay, now not everyone, but the core of it, most of it. So he's sitting there hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his and answers. So evidently, if they got answers from Jesus, they must have asked him questions. And when they saw him, they were amazed, talking about the parents, the mother. The mother said to him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? I mean, behold, thy father and I have sought thee and were sorrowing. He said to them, how is it that ye sought me? Don't you know I'm about my father's business? So there's a bunch of things wrapped up in here that I want to talk about, because it's so important to you. And I think that you're going to leave on it. I know you're going to leave on a higher level, which you came in. See, Jesus wasn't lost. His parents were lost. They thought he was with them, but he was already about his father's business. At first glance, we might think that Jesus was just there to learn, but he wasn't. He wasn't a mere student. Folks, we got to look at this. Jesus, you can't look at Jesus as a 12-year-old boy, and he's got to go into a synagogue, go into a church to start learning this stuff so he can just preach and say, he was all God. He was all man and all God. So So why was he there? What was the purpose? What was the reason for him being in the synagogue? He was introducing the church to the church. Remember this. He was introducing the church to the church. This is where you come in. This is where I come in. See, you are not just about your father's business. Listen to me. You are your father's business. It's you. This was a model, I believe. This is what God showed me for you and I. He knew that we would go into an apostate religious system, which we're in right now. Folks, it's worse now than it was then. And I'll tell you why. Because the scripture that says when a house is wiped clean and one demon comes, finds it clean, I'm paraphrasing, he'll bring more with him. Seven. This is religious spirits. We got demons of religion right now all over the place. A demon of religion killed Charlie Kirk. It wasn't his politics. Oh, that was part of it. But that wasn't what killed him. It was a demon that didn't want him to talk about the model of marriage, how much he loved his wife. He respected his wife, how much he loved God. Do you think the demons care about politics? That's like the scab on the butt of a cow. See, when Jesus said, I must be about my father's business, he wasn't saying the temple itself. He wasn't saying the temple was the business. Do you follow what I'm saying? Must be about my father's business. He wasn't talking about the temple. He was declaring, I am the Father's business. You are the Father's business. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? But most Christians, they chase the Father's business from the outside in through programs, revivals, charity events, feeding the hungry, handing out tracts. Nothing wrong with this, but they're trying to do it from the outside in. Why? Because the model of the apostate church today sets it up to be that way. You accept Christ. They want to suck you into their system so that you can become part of their program. They don't want you to be about the Father's business because they have created their own demonic business because their father is the devil. I'm talking about the apostate church system, folks. Don't email me and don't put in chat, David, don't put down the church. I'm not putting down the church. I'm not putting down God's people. I'm putting down the demons of religion that seep into these buildings, these churches, and create these denominations and separate the people and preach apostate messages. That's who I'm talking about. You see, what is the Father's business? That's my question to you. And are you really doing it? Folks, what I'm going to share with you is what God told me, and it shocked me. It really did. And this is why I'm so excited about sharing this with you. It took me years to discover what I'm sharing with you now, and I'm still on a journey. And let me tell you something. Any preacher that starts preaching to you and they try to tell you their journey is over, they've got it all signed, sealed, and delivered, you better run the other way. Because any preacher that's a real preacher and preaching will always tell you that they are still on a journey. They always will be until the day they put 6 foot under or Jesus comes back. I'm still on a journey. Every day, I mess up. I have to go back to God and say, God, help me. Help me. I want to go to comments and see what you guys think. Let's go to comments and see who's in comments this morning. Morning, Rhonda, Lori. Morning, everybody. Okay, thank you, Janine from Scotland. 34 years. Well done, guys. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Thank you, Janine. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I tell you what, 34 years, man. You know, I'm from LA, and most of my friends, I've had one wife and six children, and most of my friends have had six wives and one child. And so not that I'm, listen, it's not because of me, it's because of the grace of God that God has bestowed upon me to have such a wonderful wife. So it's not, please don't think I'm trying to take any credit for anything, because I'm not. All right, let's get back to you. All right, my question to you is, are you living by default or by design? Are you in default mode or are you in design mode? Now, this is where the rubber hits the road. Stay with me, because there's many of you out there that aren't doing what God wants you to do. You wake up every morning, you got this, it's like a rock in your shoe emotionally. You just know you're not doing what God designed you to do, and you want to do it, and you say to yourself, God, I don't know how to do it. Even if I know how to do it, I don't think I can do it. Well, this is going to stop right here and now. We're going to bust that demon right in the head and throw him back into the pits of hell. So are you living by default, meaning you're just living according to your circumstances, what's around you, like a pinball getting knocked around? Are you living by God's design, intention? Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? The old you was programmed as a child by limiting and broken beliefs. So we fall into this default mode. That's not you, folks. You were programmed. That is not what God, the assignment God gave you and the way he intended you to be is not the way that you are now, because you were programmed from age conception in the womb all the way to, I don't know, around 7 years old, so they say. But when you accept Christ, it's renewing your mind. The problem is we're given the gift of renewal, but we go back to the same vomit, the same garbage. Why? Because the church doesn't tell us it's any different. They don't want us to go back to the truth, because when they realize we are our Father's business, we realize that we're exposing them as their Father's business, the father of the devil. See, when you renew your mind opens up for the Holy Spirit to reveal your assignment. And he does, and you know that. He's revealed it to you. But through the years, we've put it on the back burner to the point is the point of we don't even think about it anymore. Be honest. Come on, we got to be honest. Design, God's design, God's assignment, or living by default. That's by circumstance. Default is a man-made religion. Design is walking in the assignment of God. But like I said, religion has its own design, a false father's design, but yours is the true father, your true assignment. See, I was bullied when I was a kid, rejected, overlooked, picked on. But my father, my earthly father, always said to me, Dave, he called me Dave, when are you going to start a business? I mean, ever since I was a little kid, when are you going to start a business? Now, you have to understand, I was abused as a kid. I'm not going to go into it emotionally, physically. So not only that, I was picked on in school. I was little, wore glasses, called me Four Eyes. I was just voted most popular boy to evaporate and be never be seen again. I had a, you know, about this big when it came to self-confidence. I had no confidence at all. Can you relate? But all of a sudden, something happened. My earthly father kept putting into my brain a business, a business, a business. So at 7 years old, I accepted Christ. God came into my spirit, touched my spirit, even though as a child, right? This is where my mess became my message, but it was a journey, and I want to explain it to you. I went through life many, many years of thinking that my business was going out and just preaching the gospel. That was not my business. My business was the gift God gave me. My business was the assignment that God gave me. That came first. Now, I don't mean that my acting and my music came before preaching the word of God. You know that. So please don't misunderstand me. Help me get through this as I speak. Help me, Lord. So what I did is I put my gift on the back burner of singing, writing songs, acting, doing music, my gift of creativity, my gift of story. I put it on the back burner because I was told by the church, that's not good. You can't do that in the church. God doesn't like that. Would Jesus make a movie? That's what they said to me. Would Jesus make a movie? Can you believe it? So I was forced to separate. I had my Sunday David. I had my Hollywood David. So I was a fake. I never was real, no matter where I went, because I separated my gift. I was torn apart, my art that God gave me. But it wasn't until the David, God David, the Sunday David married the art David, the movie David, because I crashed and burned, and I came up with integrity, and I was married together. No matter where I went, I made everybody mad. That's when I understood what it meant to be my father's business, because it's then I preached the gospel using my gift. See, I thought I was supposed to get in a pulpit and preach. See, I thought to be a preacher, you had to have some license. You had to be some credentials, schooling, something. That's what I was taught. That's what the church taught me. They said I would never be worthy to get up and preach the gospel. The church told me that. I had preachers tell me that. I said, David, it's too late for you. Look at your past. Look at the movies you've made. R-rated, R. Demons. You're shamed. You can never, ever be in the pulpit. Even if you repent, you can't, because it's still there. Don't you understand? See, the problem is I believed this nonsense. I believed it. I didn't know. Nobody told me. Nobody talked to me like I'm talking to you. God would have told me if I would have really asked him. I didn't even know what to ask him. God's given you a gift. Now listen to me. He's given you an assignment. With this assignment comes a talent. It comes a weapon. It's very specific. You can't copy somebody else. You can't look at somebody else and say, I want to do what they're doing. Nuh-uh. Don't do it. You say, David, I don't sing. I don't dance. I don't play guitar. I don't act. That's fine. You don't need to do that. But God's given you a talent, something you can do, I can't do. Maybe your gift is to help someone do what God has assigned them to do. That's your assignment. You say, I could never do what I'm doing by myself without you all. I've got helpers. I've got you all out there helping with me with the festival, the film festival. And I've got gals out there and a few guys. Without you, I couldn't do it. Without my wife, I couldn't do it. You see what I'm saying? That may be your assignment. But when you're doing your assignment, you will be fulfilled. You'll go, yeah, this is it. I'm feeling good. And you have no concept of time. Time goes by because you're doing what God created you to do, but you're stuck. Look at where you are. But David, I'm stuck. I can't leave. The first thing, before you change anything around you, you must change what's inside of you. Because your exterior is only a mirror of your interior. Let me say it again. Your exterior, look around you, the people you're around, the place you are, the things that you're exposed to, that is only a result of what you've been thinking, of what's inside. You're not a victim unless you're under the age of accountability or you're, for some reason, you're a situation that you're a prisoner that you can't leave. So you change the inside. You no longer say, I am wounded. You say, I am a warrior. Today's the best day of the rest of your life. It's a new day. But here's the problem. Jesus opens the prison doors for us, and many of us are just sit there whining instead of walking out of the prison. Why? Because we have set all these preconceived ideas, conditions. God, I can leave when I got $10,000 in the bank, or when I got this, and when I got that. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God and God has given you a vision, He's given you provision. You don't need to see it. You just need to be it. You need to take that first step and move. If you will move, God will move. If God moves first, you don't need faith. Think about it. Everything I'm doing, almost, I'm doing because God tells me to move. And there's times I have not had provision, times I have not had strength, time I have told myself, this is not the condition in which I need to move. And God says, you move. If you move, I will move. But why does this happen? There's two things, two demons, the demon of confusion and the demon of guilt. You see, confusion is the church says that you need to be a Christian from the outside in. Go do something for the church, with the church. Go in the church. I don't know, hand out tracts, feed the homeless, like I said earlier, serve in the church. But no, you have a unique gift. You are God's business. Use that gift. And don't think of a gift as a dancing or playing the guitar. Let me tell you something. There are people out there, and I've seen you, I've been with you, you're part of this ministry. You have a gift that I admire. I wish I had it. I am astounded by your gift. What is it? It's a gift of compassion. You have the gift of love. You have the gift of wanting to help. I see it in your eyes. You look at this ministry, you see what me and Shanita are doing. You see us pushing this heavy wagon up the hill. You want to get behind this. You want to help us push, not because it's me, it could be anybody, but I see the look of love and caring, compassion in your heart. Folks, that's a gift. That's a gift I wish I had more of. I would give almost everything I have if I could have more of that gift. I want you to know that. But God's given me the gift so that people like you who have a gift can come together and be successful in being about our Father's business. The second is guilt. We don't think we're worthy. If you think deep down inside, the reason you don't move, the reason I don't move is I don't think I'm worth it. But that's deception from the demons. Oh, look at my past. Look at the things I'm thinking now. If God only knew. Let me tell you something. God already knows. Don't say if God only knew. God knows everything. He knows what you're going to think before you think it. That's a scary thought, isn't it? I think I need to repent right now. Okay, so what do? We repent and we realign. Two R's. Repent, realign. It starts with repentance, Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, that times of refreshing will come, shall come, is coming. Repent. Let's pray. Father, forgive me. I've been living in default. Today, I accept my assignment and I will live by design, by your design. Let's say it again. Father, forgive me. I've been living in default. No more. Today, I proclaim, I accept my assignment. I will live this day by design, by your design. You see, that repentance, that brokenness, that desire to change invites the Holy Spirit in and jolts you and I alive. Like Jesus in the temple, listening, then speaking with authority. Just like I thought ministry was preaching in the pulpit, I was wrong. You see, folks, demons wanted to take me out years ago. Why? How? Well, they didn't want me to play guitar, sing. They didn't want me to go to Hollywood. They didn't want me to do anything I did. They wanted me to work in a factory. Now, nothing wrong with working in a factory if that's God's assignment for you, because without factory workers, we wouldn't even be doing what we're doing now. But God had a plan. I refused to do it. I did work in a factory for a while. I wasn't happy, but I was focused on my assignment. So what is this about you? Is that God's given you a vision? You may have to do something interim to get to that vision, to get to that place. You may have to work in a factory. You may have to do something that maybe you don't like doing. But let me tell you something, do it with joy. Work with your hands, but do it for God. But keep your eyes on your assignment. Now, there are people that work in factories all their life, and that's what they want to do. They feel good about that. Great. That's what they're supposed to do. And you know what they're doing? They're also preaching the word of God. Wherever you are, you preach the word of God. But there's many people working in factories that stayed there because it was comfortable, and you know you should have left years ago. And you're miserable. Be excited about what you do. It's never too late. Don't tell me you're 70 years old or 60 or 50. You don't know how long you're going to walk the face of the earth. I know people. Friend of mine just last week lost 11-year-old child, cancer. We're going to pray for him later. Pray for the family. You don't know when God's going to take you. You don't know when the Lord's going to come back. You could live to be 110. You have no idea. It's your preconceived notion of, and you know what society does this to us. All right, next thing I want to talk about. Your father's business, we've established, is the gifts God has given you. I don't care if you work in a factory. If you've got the gift of love, the gift of giving, the gift of encouraging, you do it in a factory. I'm using that as an example. Do it in an office. But if you see something, God, a place God wants you, don't stay in that factory. Don't stay in that office. Get to where He wants you to be and use your gift of singing, songwriting, love, encouragement. But where are you going to place your gift? And here's where we get messed up. Think of it as a mall. Some Christians are placing God's business, their business, God's business, which is them, in a rundown, leaky, old, stinky old mall. That's what we call the religious system. And it stinks of man's control. And they wonder why they fail. 2 Corinthians says 16:17, 6:17, 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be separate Folks, this isn't just talking about come on from among the world. Get out of the religious system. Be separate. Don't get mixed up with them. God has a place assigned for your business. Fresh, alive, fruitful. Don't settle for a mall that's collapsing. A mall. A lot of different businesses in a mall. You're a one of God's business within that mall. Say to yourself, I am my Father's business. Say it. I am my Father's business. No more default, no more chains. Look in the mirror. I am my Father's business. I will do my Father's business. Nothing and no one will keep me from my Father's business. I will complete my assignment. And when the world comes looking, surprised you're not who you used to be, you'll simply say what Jesus said. Don't you know that I'm about my Father's business? Because I am my Father's business. Folks, many of you right now, you've been living a life basically a lie. I know those are strong words. The reason I can say it is because I lived that lie for many years. I lived a lie. I didn't understand what it was to be about my Father's business, and I'm on a journey to still understand it, but I'm praying that I'm able to share with you this morning what that means to be about my Father. Until you become about your Father's business, you will not be about your Father's business. I don't care how many churches you go to. I don't care how many revivals. I don't care how many deliverance services you go to. If you're not living, if you are not your Father's business, then you're living a lie. And it's okay, because we have an altar right here every Sunday morning. Thank you, God, for this altar. But we've got to trust Him. And right now, right where you are, God's laying upon your heart, child. Come to me and be all about me. Use the gift that I've given you. Only trust me. Sing it with me. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Come every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Everybody's singing, let's praise Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Lord, I trust You now, for You have saved me, You have saved me, You have saved me now. You might say, David, how has He saved me? I was always saved. I mean, I accepted Christ a long time ago. He's saving you because He's given you knowledge, information, intel that you didn't have a while ago. He's putting you on the path by design, not by getting you out of default. God doesn't want us in default. He wants us in the design mode. Let's sing it one more time and praise Him and thank You. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. plunge now into that crimson flood that washes bright as snow. Only trust him, only trust him. It's time to trust him now, Lord, we trust you. For you have saved me, you have saved me. You have saved me now. You know what? God saves me every day. He saves me from myself. We only have so much time in this life. And what we do with it is based upon, are we living by design? Are we living by in default? And I say, from this point on, we're living by design, by God's design. I want to share something with you, a few things here. If you would like, before we go into prayer this morning, if you would like to support this ministry, consider letting us be part of your life. You can go to davidhebner.tv/give. Text the word CHOSEN to 91999. Call 844-806-0006. I want to share with you those that have given just in the past month, past couple of months, what your gift has done for people. Four people have given their life to the Lord for over the past month. They've got eternal salvation. What you've done with your prayers, your encouragement, and your financial gifts has brought four souls into eternity. Countless people have come forward to rededicate their life to the Lord, get them back on track because of you. Because of you, I've been able to stand in front of several secular audiences at film festivals and thank God, my executive producer, and just preach enough to where they didn't know it was preaching, but it was. Because of you, I was able to get in front of Christians who are on a certain level and speak to them, and God brought them to another level, not because of me. It wasn't my words. It was God's words. But it's because of what we talk about. It's because of you, okay? Your prayers are important. We thank you for your prayers. The safety, we've been driving all across country, drove back and forth all across the country from Florida, California, three times. You say, David, why don't you fly? Well, that's another story, and I'll share that later. It's a discernment when it comes to flying, and I don't want to go there, but God told me, he says, get in a car. Let me tell you something. When you drive, you meet so many more people. Do you know the people that we've been able to touch just staying in hotel rooms? I talk to the front desk. I give them a last evangelist card. Driving, to me, is so important because it's the people we meet in restaurants along the way, truck stops everywhere. Flying, you just go from one point to the other, okay? You might see somebody on a plane, but this is why we do what we do, okay? And also, please become a member of David Hebner TV. We have over 1,200 shows on our network, and we talk about all these things. You can see there what it is. And if you're listening by radio or podcast, Spotify, whatever, I'll just say we have things that deal with the Antichrist, one world religion, Christian persecution. We have people like L.A. Marzulli, the late great Russ Dizdar. It just goes on and on. So many interviews, 1,200. And you can watch Last Evangelist, episode 1, 2, and 3 is coming out. And then just one more thing I want to share with you guys that's important is we've got the film festival coming up, and the Last Evangelist Festival, we're going to have the premiere of episode 3. So it happens on the 14th and 15th of November. Like for you to go sign up. And if you've got a movie or you've got music, you can click here and you can submit it for the festival. And you don't even need to have any of that. You can go on and you can do a video, a 3 to 5 minute video. It's called a testimony, and give us your testimony. We're going to play it. We're going to honor everyone that submits. We want to pray over your gift if you're a singer, songwriter, actor, filmmaker, whatever. Okay, so please be a part of that. Either get a ticket online or come to the event. We're going to be giving some awards away to some pastors that you know and honor them also. Let me bring Shanita on. Good morning. Happy anniversary.
It sure is. And happy anniversary to Duncan and Janine in Scotland. They have 30 years. And Liz and her husband in Missouri have 40 years as of Friday. So
Wow.
we're grateful. Yeah, grab a pen and paper and write this down. We have 2 weeks. October 15th is the last day to submit for the festival. And you don't have to be a professional actor or filmmaker. You can grab your phone like I'm doing and share your testimony. And the judges will see it, and who knows the lives that can be impacted. You don't have to be a professional musician. If God's put a song in your heart, put those words on paper or record yourself singing it and submit it.
Absolutely. I'm excited, Shanita. Let's go to prayer request, praise report. We got a few minutes here, and we're going to go to underground in about 5 minutes. So you can only go to underground if you're a member of David Heavener TV. Go sign up, davidheavener.tv. Sign up. We'll send you a link just this one time. If you'll email us at admin@davidheavener.tv. We'll send you a link. You can get in, and then every week you can be a part of our family. Consider signing up. Shanita, prayer requests, praise reports.
Yeah, we are praying. Carl's having an MRI October 9th. And I just want to say a huge thank you to Sandy and Crystal. They came this weekend and they have been serving on the festival board. And thanks to everyone who has been planning for at least 3 months. They've been meeting weekly to plan the festival. And if you would like to help us, you are welcome
Yeah, let
to
us
reach out.
know. We're going to have, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Some other people, Daniel has been helping us. Sunshine's been on.
Debbie, Amy.
Debbie and a few other people. We thank you, but we'd love to have more people involved. If you would like to be, you don't have to be there in person. You can just help us from where you are. Appreciate it. All right. Do we have any praise reports?
Well, because you all have supported us, our team went down to the hospital and in Central America, and at the site of the accident, the EMT declared Edgar dead. He's 18. But our team went and followed him to the hospital, prayed over him, and then he was transferred to the better hospital, which is much farther away. But our team's been down there twice, and he is in an induced coma, but he's moving. So there are good
Okay.
signs that God is at
Yeah.
work.
Let me, because I'm excited about this. He ran into a tractor trailer on a motorcycle. They pronounced him dead. Our team in Belize, your team, directly because of your prayers, your encouragement, your financial support, went, prayed for him. He came back to life. Okay. Doctors had already pronounced him dead. And now he's in a coma. That's fine. I'll take that. God works in stages sometimes, phases. But at the same time, his wife was pregnant, delivering a baby. All right. I'm believing he's going to have full recovery and
Amen.
he's going to see that child. And you know,
Yeah.
Shanita, I think God will change his life because he was drunk when he ran into that somebody. He was drunk. Okay. Now, I'm not judging him, but sometimes God uses these things to change us, you know. Okay, let's get to prayer
Absolutely.
requests. The first one I want to mention, because we're running out of time, is Josh and Christine Peck
Yes.
lost Nathan. They didn't lose him. He just went on to be in the arms of Jesus, okay? They still have him. So I don't want to say lost, but he passed away 3, 4 days ago. Prayers for the Peck family and friends. And we thank Jesus for opening his arms and taking little 11-year-old Nathan into his arms, battling the cancer for many years. So pray for his family. Who else do we pray for?
We have Kay, Laurie, we have the Lowen family in Canada. And if you have requests, please email them to admin@davidhebner.tv, or you can send a text. And David, you have the card for the text number. It's 615-861-9659. You can send a text anytime, day or night, 615-861-9659. Yep, that's it.
Yeah, send a text right there. They can get prayer from you. And if anyone wants to sign up to David Hebner TV, you can sign up using that. Just scan your phone over that, sign up. It's real easy. And then if you all would like to get any of the my vaccines, the blood of Jesus, legalize Jesus, last evangelist, you can order that. David at davidhebner.tv. I'm sorry, davidhebner.tv/order. And so, all right, Shanita, let's go underground. I love you. I appreciate you. And once again, happy anniversary.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I call it a Hebnerism when you say something like clever that I want to remember. And today's, it was, when you move, God moves. If you don't move, then you don't need faith.
Oh, I like that. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I guess very seldom do I ever say anything clever. So when I do, you need to give it a monument and say Hebnerism. Thank you. And I'm going to open this card on Underground, this anniversary card for you guys Underground. So go with me. Please be a part of our church, would you? I mean, I know I say this every week, and I just like everyone on social media to come and sign up and just be a part of what we're doing. I know God will bless you. We welcome you. All right. Shanita, thank you. Love you. Bye-bye. All right. Love you guys. I appreciate you all. We're going underground, and I just have had a great time. And as I preach, and I'm also learning too, okay? I'm learning. I learn things when I talk. So, all right. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Remember, you never really lived till you found someone worth dying for, and that is Christ Jesus.
Hey, everybody. I am honored and blessed not to have just one new book out, but two new books. That's right. Two new books. The first one is End Times Investigation. I deal with Hollywood mind control. I deal with demon portals, the alien-demon connection, astral projection, program multiples, satanic ritual abuse, and much, much more. The things that I talk about in Last Evangelist and on my shows, all my interviews I do, it's right here in this book, especially my life story. Also, True Power, how to access your true power in these last days. Okay, it's a war manual for God's children. We need to learn the enemy's tactics and how to battle the enemy in these last days. Pick up a copy of this book. Just text the word CHOSEN to 91999, or you can go to davidhebner.tv/order, or you can simply call 844-806-0006.
How can people be a participant? How can people be a participant and help you bring the Last Evangelist story to the public?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we set it up as the model, like The Chosen, where you can go and donate. You can actually be the financier on it. You go to lastevangelist.com and you can donate. You can be an actor, you can be a producer, you can be, or just donate. Special thank you.
Hey, everybody. Episode 1 and 2 are finished, but we're now filming episode 3. Would you please help us finance this very important mission? Episode 3 deals with mind control and how government is taking over the church. You can call 844-806-0006, or you can go to lastevangelist.com, or you can text the word evangelist to 71777. You can watch episode 1 and 2 right now on David Hebner TV.
I love you all. Thank you so much.